Stephen Brunt, what the hell are we going to talk about?
It's that kind of weak, isn't it?
It really is. Like, especially here right now, there's no Flames game today. They played on the weekend, so we talked about that yesterday, and it was a complete blow.
Boring Vancouver on was Sunday anyway. So.
Vancouver was terrible. The Flames were okay, but the Canucks were awful.
Skeleton roster.
Well, everybody is kind of hurt too, right? So, but I know there's no one shedding tears for the Canucks in Calgary, but that's just a guess, right? But like, everybody is hurt, so there's a reason they're terrible.
We've been sitting on our hands just waiting for snowfall. That's what we've been...
No snow?
There was a big report yesterday.
We're going to get hammered today,
apparently.
We're
going to get beat up by snow. Didn't show up, but now maybe today.
Like a big, like, white hell kind of shut down the city, bring in the army kind of thing? Is that what you mean?
Like 30 centimeters and we'll do just fine. Don't worry
it's
about it.
It's not Buffalo Hamilton snow, but it's...
It sounds semi-serious to me.
It's, well...
Yeah, Buffalo stands alone, as you know.
I remember one Christmas.
The world, yeah.
Speaking of Christmas, it hadn't snowed at all in Buffalo. My parents showed up for Christmas. It was like the 22nd or 23rd. We were playing a game, and my dad was outside hacking down a tree, getting it set up for Christmas. It was gorgeous out. T-shirt, shorts kind of weather.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, you couldn't get out of the driveway. I'm talking up to your chest hot. Like, just.
Meter plus.
Oh. It was
You went to the football game a couple of weeks ago, right? That know that they pregame warm up that game. There was no snow on the field, and by halftime there was 8 inches of snow, literally.
Yeah. It's amazing how it snows.
Yeah. So anyway, that's not that. It's I'm luckily it was somewhat removed from that microclimate. Buffalo is very close to here, but you turn the bend heading down the peninsula and it changes very quickly.
Right,
so we don't have those issues here. We have other issues.
You wanted to ask him about. Eugene.
Well, yeah, Eugene in front, their center stage.
Got the spotlight, finally.
Spotlight's on. Yeah. We love Ottawa. What a great thing. Hockey. Oh, we're not happy here. What is he doing?
Well, that's him, though, right? Like, when you actually get him, when he talks, that's what he does. He used to, he had a weird relationship. We may still have it. I'm not sure they've actually ever met in the flesh, but you know the great Bob McCowan. You've probably heard of him. Radio personality, Toronto. Been around forever.
Yeah.
New Deal, is that the guy?
Yeah, that guy. Right.
Pay cut.
But Melnick would come on his show when he wouldn't do interviews with the local guys in Ottawa or anybody else. He liked Bob for some reason, which fill in a blank there. And he would call from he lives in the winter somewhere in the kind of lower Caribbean. I forget the name of which island he's on, and hangs out at a local bar. And he would call in from that bar, and he was clearly whatever the local truth serum was. It was pumping through his veins, and he would say all kinds of stuff. That's when especially around lockouts and things when Gary Bettman was trying to, for instance, downplay the amount of. The percentage of revenue that flows in the league from Canadian teams, because that wasn't a good narrative for him. And Gene would come on and say, "Oh no, yeah, it's like half the money in the league comes from Canada." And then people at the NHL head offices would yell, and so that's him. I'm saying like he is unfiltered, for better or for worse. So what you heard from him over the weekend is him being truthful. Now there's a lot of rumors about his non-hockey business life and financial pressures and the extra squeeze that hockey team may be putting on him. He's not like Murray Edwards rich, right? He's a somewhat lower level of rich, and I think it fluctuates a bit more. So I think you see a guy who is under pressure financially, maybe in other parts of his life, looking at an arena where there are hundreds if not thousands of empty seats most nights, making this kind of long shot bid to have another arena built downtown in Ottawa, because the location there has always been a bit of an issue. But Ottawa's an issue. It's a tricky town to sell stuff in. It's a government town, and it's been teams have gone there to die before. So I think he's in distress, and the opportunity was an unfortunate timing. For sure, the whole hockey world is watching. It's all kind of pretty. It's cold. There's guys playing hockey in toques. Super sentimental. But that is Gene Melnick. And it's not the last we will hear about distress and the NHL in Ottawa. Now, you know, of course, he did throw out the "I might move the team" thing as well. But I believe that if you actually look at what he said there, you know, he didn't say "I'm going to move the team" or else or anything like that. It was kind of, you know, if this gets worse or becomes a smoking disaster, I may have to think about that. So it's not the it's not the kind of standard empty blackmail threat that people are familiar with in some cities. I think what I'm saying is that's him.
Does he have a Steve?
Yes, I think that's what he's thinking right now.
Now, to flip on the flip side, does he have a bit of a point? Because I know the one thing he referenced was the fact that this is a team that went three rounds deep last year, and there were tickets available
still
on
not
game
selling
day.
Out. That's yeah.
Yeah, he does. Well, I guess the one thing is, do you ever have the right to blame fans for not buying tickets? You know, if you're selling a product and people don't buy it, is that the consumer's fault or is that your fault? Or do you just have a product that people don't want? You know, I think you can't say, you know, you have a duty to fill arenas.
No, but it's odd in Canada, don't you think?
It's odd, though. No, look, it's an odd, but Ottawa's an odd place. Like, that's an odd market.
Yeah, there's a bunch of weirdos there.
Well, but it's kind of dead, you know, and even when that team has been very good, it has not been an automatic. And people will tell you, look, if you talk to anybody from Ottawa, they will tell you endlessly about how far it is to get to Kanata, where the arena is, and how, you know, how much traffic there is, and how much it costs to park, and all this stuff, which, you know, you don't, if you really want to go, none of that stuff matters. Right? If it's a Tuesday night game against Carolina, I get it. You know, maybe I would rather stay home. But the playoff stuff, it kind of speaks to kind of a lack of, I get somebody yelling at me about it in Ottawa about this, but, you know, there's kind of a lack of passion about that team. People just kind of feel, and, you know, that was a crazy playoff run last year. You almost forget how close they got to the finals. But there's just not a lot of love for those guys. There's kind of a funny indifference in Ottawa. I mean, you know, maybe it goes back to the beginnings of that team and how horrible they were. And all of the, again, there's a lot of blackmail talk in those days, and Rod Brydon going around with his tin cup begging for money. And, you know, they've never really gotten out from under that in a way because, you know, Gene was the savior for a while. But as I say, they've got a guy there who I don't think they like him. But, you know, look, if you don't want to buy a hockey ticket, I guess that's your business, though. That's why, I don't know that it's ever a successful marketing strategy to point a gun at the heads of the fans and say, if you don't buy a ticket, the team will die. You know, that's... doesn't work. Just doesn't work.
Does it seem like, and maybe it's sticking out in my mind because we're in Calgary and we're having the fight over the rink, but it seems like there's more or enough attention on teams not doing well this year. Do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't heard of it maybe the last 2 or 3 years where teams are really struggling.
Well, because most teams aren't, you know? This used to be a league kind of full of basket cases, and it's not anymore. I don't understand the continued existence of the Coyotes in Arizona, you know, and I think that's still kind of going back to Gary making a point about, you know, who was in charge of the game and the league and the business to people like Jim Balsley. So I think they're almost going to be there until they absolutely can't be there. And you know, Florida's really soft, you know, that market is really soft. Carolina's really soft, but you know, I think at this moment in history, there were probably fewer teams. Now, again, take TV money out of the equation because it's an entirely different thing. But in terms of attendance, there are fewer NHL teams with loads of empty seats than there are NBA teams right now. You know, watch an NBA. You know, well, I know you guys love the NBA, but surf around some night and look at NBA games and look at how many empty seats there are. You know, you don't see that, and you know you see it in some places in the NHL. Like, Detroit's weird right now. There's something going on in Detroit because people are not showing up at that new arena. But by and large, this league is sort of healthy. So when we get one of these kind of crises, it's not like back in the old days when, you know, the Nashville was in crisis every other day, or the whole Arizona drama played out, or, you know, wither the Jets or any of those things. It's a pretty stable league right now.
Well, we were talking to Elliot last week. Even closer to it, it doesn't even feel like there's going to be much in the way of coaching turnover because either the teams are doing well or they've just changed their head coach. I don't know that we'll, he had said, I don't know, we may not see a firing this year.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. I think there was talk, the guy in Philadelphia was on the hot seat, but then they started playing a bit better.
Six in a row, yeah.
Yeah, but beyond him, yeah, who's who's the obvious firing candidate? Claude Julien was under a lot of pressure in Montreal early, but you know, of course, you know, they just recommitted. They committed to him last year. They're not, you know, would have been, if Bergevin threw him over the side, that would probably would have gone right after him, I think. So, and then again, they, you know, they kind of stabilized. They're not playing very well right now, but they kind of turned, you know, once Carey Price came back, they were not hopeless anymore. And yeah, yeah, beyond that, I, you know, certainly not in Canada. You know, I don't see any pressure on any of the teams in Canada to fire a coach. And yeah, it's you know, that it, you're on ice. You've got some, you know, there's certainly some bad teams, but they're mostly bad teams that people expected to be bad. You know, so you're not gonna blame the coach for what's going on in Buffalo, for instance, right now, because you know their goal is clearly the top draft pick right now.
Tank.
How about
it works sometimes.
It hasn't for them. They could have had Ekblad and McDavid, and instead they got Eichel and Reinhardt.
Sometimes the bingo balls, you know, can kind of seal your fate a little bit, but yeah, bad luck. But yeah, you know, you're right. I believe they're going to give it one more try.
I was going to ask about Buffalo.
And
I don't know if anybody has written the book, but I have your book if no one's done it. Just the Buffalo sports history. Between the Bills and what's happened with the Sabres to get so close, and then as Rhett knows, you had a skate in the crease and all of that. It's really hard to fathom that the Cleveland Browns have played more playoff games than the Bills have in whatever it is the last 20 years. It's one game, granted, but still, that's an amazing story that I think if there was a lot of homework done within it, it would blow people's minds. The futility of that sporting market. The fans have a very strong love for their teams.
Well, it's a small town, as Red knows, right? It is a small city, and it's, you know, especially small for an NFL town. So, but it's a small city with two professional teams, and they, you know, one point had an NBA team way back when. They had three, and it is a sports crazy. That's, you know, the identity of that city is wrapped up mostly in the Bills, but a little bit in the Sabres. When the Sabres are good, they certainly get on board. And it's not just that they've been bad; it's the tease, right? It's the close calls. It's the skate in the crease. It's four Super Bowl losses. Watching this NFL season play out. Like, have you ever seen anything like this? Because they have zero expectations going in the Bills. They get off to a crazy good start. Everybody gets excited, and then they play three terrible games in a row where they give up 50 points a game, and then they're done. And they bench, you know, then they bench Tyrod Taylor and bring in a guy who throws five interceptions and a half. So they have to bring in, and then he eventually, you know, of course, then they have to bring back Tyrod, and then he gets hurt, and then they bring back Peterman, and then he gets concussed, and Tyrod. And now, you know, they win the snow game, which no way they should have won that game. There's been a couple of other games where they've been super close, and have just, so they're going to be just good enough to not make the playoffs.
Yes.
Right? Like, right now, as of today, they are in a playoff position for the first time in, 20 years or whatever it's been. And but you know they're going to, I think they've got two left with New England.
One with New England.
New England
and
Miami. Both on the road.
New England and Miami, okay. So, you know, and New England, yeah, will maybe have something to play for still. Miami's their great emphasis. So yeah, it would be if they made the playoffs. You know, the other thing is they traded away like four guys this year. You know, Sammy Watkins, Marcel Darius, a couple other guys. You know, who are kind of stars on that team, doing things that, you know, as though they were saying, okay, the hell with it, we're going to have to tear this thing down. And they got better when they traded those guys away.
So then they bring in Kelvin Benjamin. Now we need to be
take on that, though, was that those guys didn't want to be there. I think that's why they said, you know what, you want to be here, get lost.
Yeah, and the new coach, you know, is kind of took charge of the then he lost the dressing room, of course, when he benched Tyrod Taylor. Then he got him back. So look, there's been more drama there this year for one team in three quarters or five sixths of a season, whatever it is, than, you know, and even for Buffalo, this is high drama. But it will end badly.
But
it's hard to believe it will do anything other than end badly.
Oh, for sure it'll end badly, but I feel like they're loved by everyone. They're the lovable loser.
They're going to be 8-8 again every damn year, it seems.
And I feel like with
if they made it, people would be pumped.
But with some research, there have to be some amazing, like your Dominic Hasek disappears on the morning of a playoff game. Like just all of these, right? Like all of these, the stories from within. Like, we know the big stories. There has to be amazing, like, stories from within that would just blow people's minds about that town.
The four losses in a row, there's got to be all kind of anecdotes around those teams.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't dig too deep, Stephen.
Well, I mean, you know, Thurman Thomas losing, forgetting his helmet before the game in Minnesota. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so stuff like that. Yeah, no, that things of it, like that, you know, and again, that the Super Bowl thing was kind of all downhill after wide right. It's, you know, that's where it starts. And
well, they had to come back against Houston, the biggest comeback in playoff history.
The Frank Reich game, yes, indeed.
All those.
But none of these things lead to them winning.
No.
You know, they just lead to them getting close and then getting... Yeah.
So.
And, you know, you're right. It would be a hell of a book. But I have a huge soft spot for the town and for the teams, partially because of where I live. You know, I'm close by, and it's sort of like Hamilton, that town, in a lot of ways. It's got a... We share a lot of things. And, you know, all my childhood television came from Buffalo, because that was the only American... That was our window on America here, was Buffalo. So we are steeped in Buffalo culture. And Buffalo Bills culture. So it's...
That's why you're the man to write the book.
It's got
to
be done.
If they made it, everybody would jump. I think people would say they would be kind of the little engine that could, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Here's what will happen.
Music City Miracle. You forgot about the
that's right. The
I
Titans.
Didn't forget about it. I remember it.
that's another one. Like that, which, and it was a forward pass.
It was a forward pass!
Yeah, that was the Rob Johnson, Doug Flutie team.
Oh, right. It was. They benched Flutie. It was so much better.
Yeah. You're right. No, this is getting better all the time. You know, I kind of was looking for another book idea.
There you go. And you know what? You are so karmic, because you brought the Jets back to Winnipeg. You write this book, you know what it'll mean for Buffalo. They will make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I won't have to. I'll never have to pay for my own beer at the Anchor Bar if I do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
So get to work.
Thank you, boys. You've inspired me.